All right, let's stretch our hands. If Apostle Roslyn, if you want to make your way this way, we're going to stretch our hands towards her and receive her into this house and release her to minister to us by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has a message for us this morning. Amen. Are you ready to receive it? All right, let's just stretch our hands toward Apostle Roslyn. Father, we thank you for this woman of God. And Lord, we just release her this morning to minister your word and the message that you have put in her heart. Lord, we thank you that the heavens are open over River of Life and our hearts are open to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. Bless her and strengthen her and give her your peace in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. At this time, let's give her, let's stand and give her a warm River, welcome.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Cook. Amen. Amen. Pastor Cook. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be here today. Amen, and glad to be with you today. Hallelujah. God is good to us. We thank God for being able to get here and traveling safely. Amen, that's so important. Traveling safely is very important. But I thank God most of all that I have an opportunity to speak to you. That's one of the greatest opportunities. We're in a day and time now where you have to ask God. One of the things I told the Lord, I said, Lord, in this season, this is such a blessing, Dr. Cook. I says, Lord, I don't want to go nowhere unless you want me to go. I said, so those that I'm supposed to go speak to, let somebody call me and tell me that's where I'm supposed to be. Amen. I am excited about the Lord. Amen. So we're going to be in the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. I always say I start someplace, but I ain't going to tell you where I'm going to end. Amen. As long as we get out on time and God does what he does, that's all that's important, right? But I want to talk about an encounter with God today, and mainly because that's what we need in this hour. Every last one of us need God to touch us somewhere. When we talk about an encounter, it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, it's got to be something miraculous or powerful or whatever. Anything God does anyway is miraculous. Amen. Especially when he does it for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I have had some encounters, and I want to share those same encounters that I had. Now, some of you all may say, oh, I don't know about that, but I guarantee you, you'll be convinced by the time I leave. You can't have an encounter with God and can't tell what God did in detail. Amen. And all of us need an encounter. All of us need our faith boost in this day and hour. We need a faith boost in this hour. It's so much going on in society today. We just need a faith boost. We need God to help us. And sometimes the enemy put us in places where we're going through difficult changes. And if we're not careful, our faith will fail because we feel like we want God to come right now. And because he doesn't come right now, we have a tendency of backing up. We tell God things. You tell him he can have it. God, I give it over to you. And then you turn around and take it right back and take that burden on yourself and you try to carry it. Amen. Praise God. All right, we're going to be in the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, starting at the first verse. I got some key things here. And Jacob went on his way, and the angel of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. That was the reason he called that place there was because that was where he met God and had an experience, and he considered it to be God's camp. Amen. I want to be where God's camp is. And just thinking of the name of this church, River of Life, that means God's camp got to be here. Amen. The thing is are we jumping in the river? And once you jump in the river, you got to camp out there. Praise God. So here I started thinking about just that little portion saying, and the angel of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. This is God's host. In the meeting with God, he had experienced a God encounter. And a God encounter normally is an unexpected experience that we normally have, that we come face to face with, that's beyond our participation and our comprehension and our anticipation. So sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. You could be traveling, you could be doing anything, and things could just happen. So I started thinking about some of the things that I experienced. When I was 18, I was looking for an apartment. And I had a part-time job. Well, let me say this. I gave my life over to the Lord. So you're going to hear some personal things that I don't mind sharing. It may help somebody. I gave my life over to the Lord. I stayed in an all-night prayer meeting. During that time, I got put out of my house, living with my parents. I was 14 at that time, because I gave my life over to God, because I stayed all night in the prayer meeting. Now, mind you, my parents was not believers. So I ended up staying with people here and there, just staying with people. But I held on to God. See, all of us have challenges, but we don't know where our challenges is going to take us. So I began to tell God, I says, God, I go to church and I hear everybody testify that you gave them apartment. You gave them a place. And I says, and I need a miracle and you haven't done it for me. I said, why not? He said, because you never asked me. See, the Bible says we have not, because we ask not. So I began to take it to God, told the Lord what I wanted, and I started naming everything to go inside the apartment. I didn't know I had to do all of that. But I asked God for everything I needed. In 1 week's time, I got that apartment. 1 week's time. But I went looking in places I didn't know, because other friends had apartments. And they said, oh, come and talk to my landlord. Oh, come and talk to my landlord. And while I was sitting in one person's apartment, their aunt called them and says, I got an apartment for rent. Do you know anybody who need one? While I was sitting there. So she says, yes, I got a friend right here that's looking for an apartment. Went to go look for that apartment. Went, took that apartment or whatever. Mind you, at this time, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm speaking in tongues, got the Holy Ghost, believe God, trusting God. So I move in that apartment, and I said, well, Lord, I don't have no furniture. Somebody took me and bought me an apartment full of furniture. A spiritual mom called me and said, I got a rug in my basement and I'm not using it. You think you can use it? Went and got the rug, put it on the floor in the living room. Everything was working out perfect. And then the Lord said, this is only temporary. And I said, I'm going to stay here forever for this amount of money. At that time, I was only paying $125 a month for rent. Now, who would want to pay that much a month for rent? So in my time of being there, I had to go through the back door to get in, because it was a rear apartment. I had to go through the alley, go through the gate to get into the apartment. So one day I come out, and here's this big white dog at the gate. I unlocked the door, went back in the house. See, I didn't know any better. I could have prayed right there. Got on my knees, fell on my knees, and I began to tell God, would you move that out of the way? The Lord said this to me. Beware of how you entertain strangers. But that was an animal. I didn't look at that as a stranger. But he says, beware of how you entertain strangers. I says, okay. Locked the door, locked everybody. Walked on down the street. Now the dog looked like a sheep. Big, pretty white one. everywhere I walked, everybody else moved. That dog was there to protect me. I didn't have a car. It walked me to the transportation, which was like 3 blocks away, walked me to the bus stop. When I came home at night, it picked me up from the bus stop and walked me back home. So I told God, I says, I didn't have a name for it or whatever. I just obeyed. 2 weeks later, another one came. It was one on my right side and one on my left side. I walked out the gate. See, I didn't know how to have pride then or feel excited. I was scared still because I did not know these pets. They would walk me to the bus stop. I don't care what time of night I came home from church. They picked me up from the bus stop, walked me back home, and they left. See, we don't know how God does things. We think that everything got to be human or physical person. We don't know how God has an angel. But God sends encounters that we're not even familiar with. So as time went on, God blessed me to stay there for a period of time. And everything I needed, God gave me everything I needed. And finally, when it was time for me to go, it was time for me to move. One of the things that happened also was, I was supposed to the day, I was working a part-time job at the time. I need some water. I was working a part-time job. And that part-time job, when I got that apartment, I was working a part-time job. I was told to be at the public aid office to lie. To lie about my parents is not here, you know, in order to get some food stamps and money. And the Lord, I told the Lord, I said, but Lord, I'm saved. I'm a believer. I can't do that. So I went to work. Do you know, when I got to work, they gave me the job full time and I got triple pay. Now, mind you, I could have went and I could have told that untruth. But I went on faith with God, not knowing when I got there that I was going to be hired permanently. I worked that job for 33 years. Didn't change jobs. I worked that job 33 years. I retired 5 years ago. Okay? So sometimes the enemy wants you to tell an untruth, to do some things undercover when God wants us to be right and righteous and free, that we won't have that spirit of guilt laying all over us. Amen. So God was good. And then there was times I had an encounter with God when I just wasn't feeling well. That's when an angel stood at the end of my bed, touched my feet, and began to pray. They prayed so strong, I had to ask them to quit. Why? Because if you had all the power that God has to touch your body, you could not contain it. You couldn't handle it. So sometimes we'd be like, okay, God, do this for me, do that for me. And he want to do it, but we can't handle it. We can't handle it all. So I'm letting you know all of this is because God wants to give you an encounter that you never had before. Sometimes our physical bodies just need to be touched. Sometimes our minds need to be touched. These are the days where the enemy starts messing with your mind, and he's bringing a spirit of distraction in our lives now that he's trying to keep you from everything. He's giving you an excuse of why you shouldn't go to church, why you shouldn't be in church, why you shouldn't participate, why you shouldn't get involved. And he does that because he's after you. He wants you. He wants to attack you. And as long as you come into the house of God, what happens? You're not covered. Your strength is among those that are sanctified. That's what the Bible say. Now, let me explain that. Because sanctified does not mean long skirts all the way down to your ankles, all the way button up to your collar, and don't have on nothing. I have to make that straight a lot of times because people don't understand what that means. Sanctified only means to be separated, set apart. It does not give you a religious title. And sometimes we have it in our minds that that's what it is. That's not what it is. There's a lot of people wearing long skirts, long dresses, or long sleeves or whatever, and don't have not near Jesus in their heart at all. So everything that look like us ain't us. Okay. It ain't us. Then I started thinking about things that happened in 2016. Went in the hospital to have a surgery. When they opened me up, they found 2 cancer cells. Nobody has ever heard this testimony. So they said, well, while you was having a surgery, we found 2 cancer cells. And they says, but we removed it. It was only the size of a tip of an ink pen. But the doctor looked at me, the surgeon said, his face said, how did you know? But let me show you what God does. I was walking around my house, never told this story. The Lord said to me, call your doctor and tell your doctor what's going on with you. At the same time, I had believers saying to me, don't worry about it. God'll heal you. On this side, people telling me, trust God. He'll make a miracle out of it. On this side, God is saying, contact your doctor and tell your doctor what's going on with you. So here's a battle. I've been in a faith ministry all my life. Now, I've seen miracles. I've seen bullets leave out of people's elbows into their hands. I've seen people walk out with crutches, getting out of wheelchairs. I've seen this. I've seen people die before me. Prayer happened. They got up. God raised them up and let them live again. I've seen this. That's what I came out of. And that's what I'm into. Now, while we're on this subject, isn't it amazing how we all want these anointings? We all ask God, God, give me this. Oh, I want to see more miracles. I want to see this. I want to see. And the Lord told me to tell you today, it's already in you. See, the problem with a lot of us is our faith level needs to be boosted. We need just a shot of faith. We need a shot of faith. You'd be surprised at what's in you. You'd be surprised at what's in you. So going back to this. So when he told me about the cancer cells, I didn't know they kept me in the hospital 2 or 3 days longer because I ran a temperature of 103 the day I was supposed to leave. So they didn't want me to go. Not only that, during the surgery, one of my lungs collapsed. They didn't tell me that either. So the only way I found out was I found out I had this scratch in my throat. And I said, why is my throat so scratchy? And they looked at me. The nurse said, oh, that's when they had to put something down your throat. See, the prayers of the righteous availed much because we had to contact our prayer warriors, our CI family, amen. And the prayers of the righteous availeth much. God covered me during that time. So going through that surgery, God bringing me out is a miracle. It took him to do this. We need a God encounter today. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need one. There was a time I walked in my apartment that I had. And when I walked in, it was full of smoke. So I'm thinking, I know I'm not cooking. I don't smell anything else in that building of anybody cooking. So I wouldn't say anything. So at that time, my godmother and my god sister was with me, walked into the apartment. And I know I saw this cloud of smoke. We went out to go eat. And I just happened to say, it just seemed like there was so much smoke in my place. And my god sister said, I saw it too. I saw it too. So I said, at least I know I'm not crazy. I saw it too. She was so excited. So I began to ask God. I said, Lord, I said, why was that cloud of smoke in my house like that? And the Lord said this. He said, every now and then I'm going to show up and let you know that I've been there. See, the Bible said that the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that diligently seek him. If we don't diligently seek him, guess what? Don't expect them to encamp around about you. See, we want a God encounter, but we don't want to come to prayer meeting. We want a God encounter, but we don't want to study. We want a God encounter, but we want it through somebody else and not ourselves. We want all of this when God is saying it's right there at your hands. All I want you to do is believe. But we have a problem believing because of the things that we go through. We let things come to shake our faith. We let things come to shake our relationships with each other. We let things come to just boost us totally out of what we really truly believe. When it's all right there in our face and God is trying to show us, I'm there. So I had a vision again. I saw my angel. The angel was too tall to have a height, too wide to have a measurement. And I asked the angel, I said, who are you? Every now and then I'm going to show up and let you know that I've been there. Every last one of us got angels. Just about 3 weeks ago, I was in prayer. And while I'm on this prayer thing, the Lord was asking me something. Where are the intercessors? Where are the intercessors? It's time for intercessors to get back on your post. Where are the intercessors? We complain about what's going on today, but don't nobody want to pray. We complain about what everybody thinks, but don't nobody want to pray. So in the prayer time, I asked God this. I said, Lord, I need so much stuff down here. And you know what he said to me, which was shocking to me? Use your angels that I sent to you on earth. And I said, I've been in God 43 years. He never told me to use my angels on earth. Well, my faith might not have been there enough. I might not have been in a position to hear that for him to tell me, use your angels. Don't you know we all got angels that's assigned to us on earth? We got angels that encamp around about us because of just loving Jesus and just praising. Don't you know when worship is going on, that's the time we need to really tap into worship and begin to talk to God about what's going on? When we worship, we're bringing in the glory. We're bringing in the presence of God. We're bringing in the angels. And they start encamping around about us. Why? Because we're diligently seeking him when we begin to worship. When we worship, the angels are dispatched to come into service. There's times I've sat in the worship service and the house would fill up with smoke. Everybody don't have a spiritual eye to see it. I was at home one time. I made a turn, and there was a cloud of smoke that hit me in the face. I said, why you keep showing me this stuff? I didn't understand it. You know, when we all come to Christ, one of the things we do, we first repent, and then we get to the point that we start a little bit loving Jesus. So we start telling him, oh, God, whatever you want, do it for me. Oh, Lord, I give you myself. I give you everything. God, I surrender. And we boo-hoo, we cry. And then when God start talking about what he want us to do, when he start talking about he want us to use us, we turn around and tell him, no, I ain't ready for that yet. I ain't ready for that yet. Now, you might get somebody else to do that, but I ain't ready for that yet. We become Indian givers. We become Indian givers. What would it be like if somebody came in the door right now? People, I believe, I just truly believe there's a harvest coming to our churches. I believe that there's so much stuff going out in the world. You hear about murders and killings and shootings and robberies and all kind of things. I believe that if enough of us will come together and begin to pray and seek God and begin to worship, God can send people coming out of every door in wheelchairs and crutches and needing deliverance and needing some breakthroughs. And guess who he's going to use? You. We're going to be used in this season. Why? Because he wants you. He wants you to have an encounter. He wants to work through you. He wants you to feel things. He wants you to sense things. He wants you to prophesy. He wants you to speak life to somebody. He wants somebody to come to the river. He wants somebody to be baptized. He wants somebody to be shaken in this time and in this season. He wants that. Don't you know God loves it? We ought to love Jesus so much that every time we talk about him, somebody else's face will light up. I was talking to a Muslim at a funeral, repast. And he started just talking to me. I started telling him about Jesus. He got so caught up in what I was saying, he said, you really believe that thing, don't you? Something happening to your face. That's how much we ought to love Jesus and be able to explain to somebody who he is in our life, our experience, what he's done, what he want to do, how he want to do it. We got to be changed. All of us have to be changed. I want to be changed. Why? Because I want to experience everything that God has for me on this earth. I used to always say, ooh, I can't wait to get to heaven. I ain't got to have no crown. Just get me through all these tests. I ain't got to have no crown. The more tests I go through, I want my diamonds. I want my rubies. I want everything that's owed to me because why? I suffered for it. I suffered for it. God wants to change us into his image and likeness. See, it's one thing to say I go to church. It's another thing to be a part of the church. It's one thing to just be in the building. It's another thing for him to be inside of you. So I know that his power is in you because the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Now, if it says it's in you, then that means Jesus lives in you. His presence live in you. Miracles live in you. Signs and wonders live in you. Now, if my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, how much is he in there? Well, he's in there because the Bible says you are bought with a price. So he paid for you. He paid for your body. Are you hearing me? He paid for your temple. Now, if Jesus paid for it, then why not let him all the way in? And why not let him manifest his power through you? Because he's already in you. I think some of us are scared. We're scared to see the power really move. We're scared. We're scared to see a miracle happen. How do I know? Young lady came to me. She had lost one child. She was pregnant. And she carried that baby. And the baby was bouncing back and forth. when she got pregnant again, she said, I'm going in the hospital to have this baby. She said, but I want you to come by my house first and pray for me before I go in. She said, because I'm already behind my time. So she was already full of fear. So I went by to pray for her. Do you know that immediately her stomach dropped right in front of my face? It scared me. It scared me. Why? Because there was something unexpected. See, we're afraid of the supernatural. We talk about the supernatural, but we're scared. We're scared. Can't tell me we ain't scared. All God wants to do is use you. That's all. That's all he wants to do. There was a young lady, a co-worker. She was having headaches constantly, going in and out of the hospital with those headaches. And so I decided, okay, let me go and pray for her. Do you know I prayed for that young lady? She never went back in the hospital again and never had those headaches anymore. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of me because I've been bought with a price. And if you let him come in and abode in you, live in you, and you're praying, you're seeking God, guess what? The power is in you. It's in you. I ask them at church all the time, what would you do if somebody died right here from the church? Somebody holler, call 911. Don't you know we are 911? People don't go to church because they're sick. I was taught the church is the Saints Hospital. We're supposed to come here. But the greatest thing that's happening now, the Bible says that things are happening now for the works of God to be made manifest. So when you hear somebody talk about they got a tumor, that's your opportunity. When you hear somebody talk about they got cancer, that's your opportunity. When you hear somebody saying they got heart trouble, that's your opportunity. When you hear somebody say, I got something wrong with my head, that's your opportunity. Don't you know the enemy is trying to use everything possible to keep us from being focused? He's using things to distract us from the truth, distract us from the call, distract us from the anointing, distract us from the power. You can use the power. It's in you. And God wants to manifest it in you. But are you going to let him do it? You can have a God encounter, but how are you going to let him do it? The problem with most of us is we want to control God. We want to tell him when to work, how long to work, how quick to do it. Take the timetable off of God and let God be God. He wants you. He wants to use you. He wants to fill you with everything that he has for you. Somebody called me the other day, told me that they had cancer. I said, well, I tell you what, on the way back from Versailles, we coming by to pray for you. Because the Bible says that this is the time for the works of God to be made manifest. I didn't go on no sorrow thing. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. No, I wasn't sorry to hear. One part wasn't, but the other part said that the works of God could be made manifest. Take opportunity. Some of you all may work in the medical field. You ain't got to go in there and be unruly. But you can pray. You can touch him. You may not be able to, in places while you're on the work schedule, lay hands on them. But you can say, you know, how you doing? And you're praying. There are ways you can do things. Family members, there's ways you can do things. You don't have to make no big show. God is the show. God is the show. We went to Duck Hill, Mississippi, and there was a lady there who was dying. And the doctors, I used to take a group of, it was about 15 of us. We used to do some evangelism. And the doctors gave her up. They only gave her a few hours. She told us about us. We was down there for a revival. So we all came together and said, hey, let's go by the hospital. Went by the hospital, began to pray for that young lady. We asked the doctor, said, can we just have some time with her? Got in there, prayed. That woman lived another 15 years. That the works of God be made manifest. It ain't time for you to leave here. It's time for you to let the works of God be made manifest. God wants to manifest through you. You're a miracle in itself. Come on, some of you all know you're a miracle. You know God brought you out. You know God healed you. You know God brought you through some surgeries. God brought you through some tests. God brought you through some battered relationships. You know it. But now God wants to take all of that that was in you and begin to work with you. He wants to do it. And guess what? He takes pride in it. He takes pleasure in it. Can you imagine God looking at you saying, look at my child down there laying hands on the sick and they recover. The Bible said that's what we're supposed to do. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he's just sitting there saying, oh, I'm just loving every last bit of it. My child just gave up. My child allowed me to just come in and touch them. And they allowed me to put my spirit in them so that I can use. They allowed me to use their vessel. They allowed me to do that. And he's probably sitting back with his chest out. Woo! That's my child down there. See, God don't mind bragging on you. Let me show you how he bragged. He said, go over there and ask that one to pray for you. See how he brags on you? Go over there and ask that one to pray for you. That's what he does. See, we think that God don't talk about us. God talks about us all the time. But are you willing to yield? Are you really willing to have a God encounter? Or do you want to keep it to yourself? Oh, I got people in my church that don't even want to bring people to church because they wanted to keep it for themselves. I'm trying to get them delivered. We need our families in the church. You need your children in the church. You need this. Have you ever thought about taking a frame and putting a prophetic word in a frame for your child, hanging it on a wall, and then when they look at it, Mama, you talking about me? But guess what? They read it. And it got in their spirit. Come on. We got to call those things that are not as though they were. We've had a God encounter when we gave our life over to Jesus. We had a God encounter. Now we got to keep it up. We get a God encounter every time we come and lay before God in prayer. We get a God encounter. Don't you know when we're in prayer, sometimes the enemy distracts you. And then he starts telling you, you know, you didn't clean out the refrigerator last night. You should have cleaned that out. And you remember you didn't take the garbage out? You should have done that too. And remember so-and-so have to do such and such. Why are you in here? Why are you messing with me during my prayer time? You got to bring your mind under subjection to the Spirit of God. So what do? I tell God this. I say, okay, I tell the devil, I ain't got time to hear you right now. Not at all. This is my prayer time. This is my God time. So leave me alone. Now, Father, I submit my mind under the Holy Ghost. It's a spirit of distraction in the world. It wants to distract you from what you're supposed to be doing, what you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be pressing towards. It's a spirit of distraction. Be careful of distractions. Be careful of distractions. These are days and time now. You have to make a sacrifice. You do. You got to make a sacrifice. Why? Your soul is important. The same way you need your natural food, you need your spiritual food. We need to be in church. We need to strengthen each other. We need this. We need to help each other. We need this. We should be saying, what can I do? I know I'm here at the river. Is there something here at the river that I could be doing? You know, I know it's a lot of work around here that need to be done. Or if I got a talent or ability, I should be able to say, hey, is there some way that I can lend my services? I'm a professional at this, or I do this, and I want to know if I could just do a little bit of time. I don't care if I could do it just once a month. Something is better than nothing. Put our hands to the plow. Let's begin to work at it. It ain't about how old you are. Bishop said, you ain't retired. You got to refire. Sometimes people feel like they're just too old to do anything now. That's not true. It's so much in everybody in here. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have placed you at the river. As long as you know you're at the river, there's life in the water. And when you tap into the water of God, it's life in it. So that means it's life in you. God wants to work a miracle through you, in you. He's presenting it before you. But are you ready to take it? Are we ready for miracles? Are we really ready for the miracles? Come on. It shouldn't take somebody from way Timbuktu to come to our cities and want a miracle. When the power of God is in us, it's amazing how we worship other people. And right here, you got the same thing. We might not be on TV like the rest of them. It is so amazing how right next to you, you don't know who has a miracle power in their hand. You don't know who has the word of the Lord in their mouth for you. We trust people on TV quicker than we trust people in our presence. Come on, being truthful. We send our money way over to this one over here because, woo, they sound good and they make me feel emotional. Come on. I was at a church not too long ago. They wanted $25 prophecy, $50 prophecy, $100 prophecy. I was like, wrong place. The gifts of God cannot be bought. Come on, if you got to pay for a bottle of water, something wrong with that. To be anointed to sprinkle it on you, you get in the shower. They tell you this is blessed water. Buy this blessed water. All you got to do is send a donation in of $50. Turn your shower on and pray. If you just got to fill it. You don't have to pay for stuff. Not like that. But why is it that we believe everybody else way off somewhere, on TV somewhere, and we can't even believe people right in our own house? Why? See, I believe that's part of the lust of the eyes. We see stuff. Lust is desire. We see stuff that look good. It is so much manipulation out there. It's unbelievable. And we get caught up in it. Why? Because we're emotional. We get our emotions attached to certain things. If you just send us $300, then you're going to be able to do so and so and so and so. You're going to help us with this. But see, you ain't tracked down that they're getting the majority of it. But you're right here. Right next to somebody who is a miracle worker. Right next to somebody who can give you a pure word of the Lord. At least you can look them in the face. They ain't sending you a message through the mail. Come on. I'm saying this because we need to be real. We really do. We need to be real. We need to build what we have. We do. And if we don't band together, we're going to be tricked. We got to band together or we're going to be fooled. Some being fooled already. I don't know how I got on this subject. We got to learn what's there, what's pure, what's right. Learn to be what God wants you to be so you can have an encounter. If so-and-so came in from out of town, unfortunately, folks just go running over there. Can't even talk to them. Can't even ask them to pray. Unless you send a mail in, and they'll probably throw that away. When you got people right here laboring, come on. Laboring. If you was a leader and you had people working with you, wouldn't you want those that's working with you to really work with you and push you along and things like that? Wouldn't you want that? Come on, all of us would. Why? Because we trust you on our team. We trust you on our team. And because we trust you on our team, we see more vision. We see more things we could do. Wow. Whew. That was not where I was going today. But God knows what we need, doesn't he? Take what you have and use it. Give it to God and let God do something with you. Let God minister to your heart. The problem with most of us is we don't take time to listen to God. We want God to listen to us, but we don't want to listen to him. Stop being in control. Let God be in control. When we stop being in control, we will see breakthrough. We will see something happening. We always want somebody else to give us a helping hand, but we need to be the ones position ourselves to receive what God has in store for us. Stop being afraid to be used. One of the things I used to have a challenge with was this. I figured people was there before me. Maybe I shouldn't be even looking in the audience. People was there before me. So I'm not going to get in the way because I don't want nobody to say I'm doing anything or I'm pushing my way through or whatever. I want you to know the body of Christ needs you. The church needs you. We need you. We need you. Nobody in here is exempt from putting your hands to the plow. Nobody. There's no big eyes, no little U's. I know them. There's no big eyes, no little U's. Everybody's hands can be used. Everybody. My fulfillment was working in God's vineyard, doing what the Lord wanted. That was my heart's fulfillment. We can volunteer everywhere outside, and there's nothing wrong with volunteering outside. But what about what we need right here? You hear what I'm saying? What about what I can do right here? I don't want to be just another pew warmer. It's a lot of pew warmers everywhere I go. But what about the person that should be sitting right next to you? What about the soul I could have brought in? What about that one I could have ministered to? What about the one that God really, really wanted me to reach out to? We're in a day where souls are going to start coming into church. We got to be ready and equipped to be able to minister to these people. And guess what? I'm working on my people now. When they come in the door, they might smell bad. They may not be the best smell ever. But guess what? You're the best vessel that God has set there to be used. Do you hear me? I've seen people come into church drunk and leave out full of the Holy Ghost. Same day. Same day. Didn't know what hit them when they came in there. I've seen this. So nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing. I brought a young lady to church one day. That was before I started pastoring. And I told her, go on up, get prayer. She said, I don't want them touching me. I said, fine, just go up there. And she got up there, and the minister said, I'm not going to touch you. He backed up. He said, I'm not going to touch you. He said, I just want you to raise your hand. So she raised her hand. See, this is where our faith comes in. If everybody is praying, not looking at everything, but if everybody is praying and believing in expectation and participation, come on, God can do some stuff. So the young lady raised up her hands, the pastor began to pray, and she hit the floor. And he said, his hands were still up like this when she opened up her eyes. She said, well, I know he didn't touch me. The power is in our midst. The power is around us. Think about all them forefathers. They get off airplanes in different states and countries, and people just start falling down in the spirit and falling on it. God can use you the same way. The same way. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God that lives in you? God lives in you, inside of you. I don't know if you know that or not, but he does. If he lives in you, then what are you putting in this body that's trying to destroy his temple? Oh. It's a lot God wants to do for you. Just believe. Amen. Just believe. Praise God. Hallelujah. That wasn't all I was going to talk about, but that was what God wanted to talk about.